Yeah, no problem. Just speak into the microphone here.
You want?
This is Voices from the Dark. Yeah, we're on.
Yeah?
We're live.
Ah, we're live.
This is how we do it. We just jump right in. No intros, nothing. We just, this is Voices from the Dark. That's how we do it. Yeah, so today, what's today? Today is February 17th, Sunday. We are at Glogau Air, RBL Berlin, Voices from the Dark. I've got another installation of the artist series for you people. Yeah, English Sundays. Every Sunday we're doing this here at RBL, English programming. So today I guess we would call him an interdisciplinary artist, Marko Ivić, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yes, yeah. Sure.
So basically, yeah, as we, as this is the artist series on Voices from the Dark, and what we do, just for people who don't know, and for Marko, who may not know, it's a very relaxed sort of interview, very journalistic, sort of just the basic who, what, when, where, why, and how of you, basically.
Cool.
And yeah, so. And I guess I always forget to give a few tips about podcasting and like microphones. Just microphone is you're a musician, interdisciplinary, so, you know, and it seems like you're actually quite comfortable with the microphone already. So face front, you know, just into the mic.
Cool.
So basically, yeah, we start with the who, and the who is not just you. It's also like your audience, who you do it for. It's everything. That you about, you know, like who you do it for, who you are, not just your name, but that's a good place to start. So maybe
you're asking them like if they were super simple questions, but yeah. I guess to start with the I, as you said, I'm Marko. I'm coming originally from classical music. I was trained as a pianist, and that was the start of arts and creativity in my life. But then later on, I went on to experiment with both sound manipulation and also working with the body and expressing myself through visuals and theater productions and stuff like that. So it all flourished into what we would say today, like, yeah, interdisciplinary. I guess that there's always a personal note behind everything I do, and the audience. It's, I guess, a good question since what the things I do are very different. I think audiences also can vary depending on it. Like my role sometimes is to compose the music for a theater production, but sometimes is to perform in it as somebody who would be more of an actor or somebody who would actually be more of a body on stage or move. Or sometimes I'm just doing my music and just doing a concert or doing something similar to a concert, but not one per se. So I guess it's very varied. From the musical standpoint, I guess it's people who are mostly interested in ambient and minimal music. And I tend to go a little bit into meditative kind of soundscapes. This is something that sort of found me and also... it came in a very spontaneous way. And performatively speaking, I guess people who are more into dance or slightly experimental performances, and I say slightly because, I don't know, I guess I'm coming from classical music is a little bit of a contrast towards experimentality. But yeah, anyways, it's a bit... to sum it up in a way.
Okay. It's quite a good rundown, comprehensive. So tell me more about who you are as a person, not just an artist. That was a pretty good, kind of encapsulation of who you are as an artist. And we'll go more into detail about like where you're from, where you're going, and you know, how long have you been in Berlin, and you know, your relationship to different things like location and space. But yeah, more biographical information. You said before the show started, you're from Venezuela, right?
Yes, I am. I was born and raised in Venezuela. even though I have a very mixed background because my dad is from Croatia and my mom is Italian, so it's quite a mix. But yes, I'm from Maracaibo, which is like the second city after Caracas. Very, very, very sunny place.
I think one of my earliest guests was also from Maracaibo.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. I don't want to
must have been a remarkable guest.
He was quite remarkable, actually. Yeah, Lalo Gomez.
Ah, cool. I don't know him.
I don't want to say for sure that he was from there, but because I remember him saying also that it's like the second, biggest city. So.
Yeah, second places tend to be quite charming, in my opinion. So I'm originally from there. I moved to Europe already like 12 years ago. Left after high school pursuing to do music. And I went to study in Croatia. Then later on ended up in Amsterdam. Mm. And then my last stop has been Berlin for almost 2 years now. But it's always on and off with... I think freelance work and the arts always push you to move around and... Yeah, the sense of being in a place gets a little bit hijacked by the way the profession works.
Mm. I like the way you put that.
Yeah.
The sense of being in a place gets hijacked by what exactly?
By the fact that you... I think freelancing and the arts, first of all, you're never engaged all the time. It really depends on what's happening and how it's happening. And also the way you approach your work routine changes depending on what are you working on and how you need to deal with it. So to say, there's no this... strict sense of office hours, vacation, paid leaves and stuff like that. So with it, I think the sense of belonging also sometimes changes. I mean, for example, the typical theater production lasts for 6 or 7 weeks, depending on. So yeah, if you have a couple of those throughout the year, plus a couple of other events outside, you might end up being half of the time of a year outside from the place where you, in between brackets, leave.
I see what you're saying now.
Yeah.
Okay, I was a little confused. I thought that you said not, so I thought it was something like being, not part of a, let's say, a fixed job or a fixed sort of lifestyle that keeps you in. I mean, it's sort of what you're saying, that you're not in the city the whole time that you're working.
Yeah, okay. I think the sense of time changes for you. Mm. Like the sense, I think there's a lot of what you experience as time with routines that changes a lot when you're not working. Of course, I mean, if you are in a studio and then you go and work, then you also try to have this routine of going every day and working every day and stuff, but. It's just a little bit different, I would say.
Okay. All right. I want to ask you more about that later, about the belonging. That's part of the kind of where, the location, the spatial element of the questioning, the interview, the questioning, the interrogation. But going back to sort of who, this category of questions, the who. So I try to remember to ask my guests, who do you do it for? Like, is there a clear distinction for you when you're making art, or and that's another question. Do you consider yourself an artist? But before you answer that one, are you doing it for yourself, or are you doing it for? Do you envision an audience? I know you said that you might be working on any number of different kinds of projects, like for the theater stage, and so on. So you might be doing it. Like in a collaborative way, so it's like I can see that it's for like a collaboration. But when you're thinking about something and creating something, do you do it sort of for yourself or for an audience or for others?
I think it's a little bit mixed because I think without the urge of doing something, art probably wouldn't happen for me, as probably for most. So up to a certain extent, you need to do it for yourself, as in there has to be a very special need to do art. I think especially nowadays that, I mean, we all know that doing art is probably not the most profitable thing on the planet, and it's not the most easy thing to do either. So you need to be very strong, you need to be kind of clear of why you want to do it. But I think in my case, and I probably speak for many, that urge is very individual and it's very private in a way. But then at the same time, I always say, like, yeah, if that would be the only reason, then I would be very happy being in my room playing piano for myself. But that's just not the case. And I think there is some kind of alchemy, or there's some kind of magic, if you want to put it in a very metaphorical way, that happens when you are actually entering in that space of interaction with others. Because, of course, in the performing arts, that acquires another level, because without the very moment of performance, it doesn't exist, really. Like, you can watch a video of a performance, but it's, you know, you're not watching it in its optimum version, so to say. So I think the performance arts are very, very specific in this sense, because they are actually creating some kind of... So in the moment where that performance happens, like, it's like a portal opening for everyone, for the people in front of you, for you. And I think this is a moment in which we all gain something, which is a little bit difficult to put in words, and it's probably subject to many different opinions. But I kind of think we live for those moments. Like, this is kind of what we're after, like this very sweet spot of, and I'm sure everyone has had that you go to a performance, or sometimes also, not a performance, but something like a work of art of any kind, and then you go home with something that changed you somehow, you know? So it's kind of this sense of expansion, maybe, that comes from that moment. So I think for me that's also like there is something about the moment of performing that is it's bringing both me and the people I'm interacting with. It's a very special thing. Yeah.
Okay, so it's basically a mix between the
definitely,
two.
Definitely. Yeah.
And okay, so good night, guys. All right, so that brings me to the next group of questions, which is the what exactly do you do now? So we have an idea that you're, you know, doing experimental, musical, theatrical work, but maybe you can be more specific, say, describe one of your projects, or just tell us more about that.
Sure. There's a couple of things on the plate at the moment. I've been working with a project I call Reflective Music, which has been happening in Berlin for a year now. It actually started in this place, so it's very funny that we're having this interview exactly where everything started.
In Glogau area.
Yes, exactly. I was a resident artist here, and it's like Reflective Music was the end of my residency. It was like the presentation I did. Mm. So that grew up to be an event that happens once a month, and it's something that keeps developing, and it's basically piano improvisations with electroacoustic setups. So I use software to manipulate the sound, and I try to invite people to make a pause and create a space for themselves in which they can be a little bit more in touch with themselves. So I'm in a room improvising, giving the context of sound, but people are allowed to do whatever they want as long as they're not producing any other sound. Mm. So people often fall asleep, they meditate, a lot of people write, a lot of people draw, a lot of people, some of them just sit and watch, like if it was a concert. But it's also an attempt for me to sort of deconstruct a little bit what a concert is, per se, and all these hierarchies behind it, like, you know, you being in the spotlight and being the holder of truth, you know, the performer, and especially I think with pianism that's very strong, because we come from this kind of image of this huge instrument and God, you know, coming to stage and playing this super virtuosistic stuff. So it's a little bit to to step out from that and actually access. So instead of a concert that you consume, it's sort of an experience you go through yourself. And I always start the events inviting people and saying, I don't want you to be silent because of, so you can hear me. I would like you to be silent so you can hear yourself. And it sounds super cliché-ish, super like new age-ish, but I still believe in it a lot. So yeah, this is something that is kind of always happening and always like pushing forward. And yeah, let's say next to that, I have I'm going to be in a residency the last 2 weeks of April in Lisbon with a colleague of mine that studied with me in Amsterdam. And we're going to be developing a piece. We actually have to do some research about it, but it's called Promises. And it probably will, we still don't know, but until now, like there's an attempt to put together something that could be a performance and documentary kind of at the same time or something like that. Mm. Trying to explore a little bit the subject of promises in a little bit of an abstract way, like imagining what sort of the baseline of that project is like. What do you wake up for every day? Mm. You know, what's the promise that holds your motivation for things?
I like
you know,
that.
It's a little bit going into existentialism and
that's
and,
sort of what I try to do on this show. we're going to get
you.
To that. Yeah.
I see you. You know stuff.
All right, promises. And so, what's the documentary aspect of it?
We were planning to, I mean, because there's a lot of, actually, it's a very typical thing of my approach, I think, that there's a lot of questions rather than answers. And I always say, like, whenever I interact with someone and if I need to give a class of whatever I could give a class, I always say, listen, I don't have any answers, but I can help you with questions. So part of the documentary aim we have is actually to literally engage with people and see what kind of information can we get from people. In which way is this going to sort of conclude as an art expression? This is something we still don't know. But the initial idea is to just meet people from different places as we, like, for example, we have the opportunity now to be in Lisbon and engage with people there, for example, and maybe do some short interviews on the go or invite some people to the studio we will have and collect a bit of material, of course, with their consent and reflect on that performatively. I don't know, but it's a little bit of we're very curious about these kind of questions in the world we live in now, right? Like that where there's so much hassle going on all the time, like we're all super saturated with inputs and stuff. But at the same time, these questions are like super essential, but they're like majorly avoided. Like, you know, nobody wants to like go there, kind of.
Oh, that's interesting. I really like that.
Yeah.
There was one thing that I wanted to ask about your work that you had mentioned earlier when you were talking about, who you are and so on. You mentioned the body and trying to, so the experimental part of your work, one of the experimental aspects of it is like incorporating the body more.
Yeah.
I think you already kind of mentioned it, but maybe you can just clarify like what you mean by
The body. Sure. I think in the course of the last 4 years or so, when I started, when I moved to Amsterdam and I started working with live electronics and everything, it was a period in which everything started opening for me artistically. And this thing of using the body on stage sort of found me, and it's a funny story actually. I was in an Erasmus exchange in Belgium, and I had I was accompanying singers as a pianist. It was one of the classes we had, and as part of that class, we had to do some physical training together with the singers, just to gain some kind of awareness of the space and the body in the space, because this was meant for sopranos and singers to gain dramatical abilities within this opera tradition, right? And when we started doing this, like, I all of a sudden got asked by everyone if I was a dancer or something like that. So there was something in my body that was relating to movement in a way that I was not really aware of.
As a pianist, basically.
Exactly. So, because I had never danced before, never had an interest either or anything like that. But in the last years after this experience, everything started opening up to the point that I nowadays am very conscious about having a necessity of working with the body. So either in my own performances and some other performances, like I love to include the body. And of course, I have tried to research the body within what it means to be an instrumentalist. You know, it's like how does that physicality gets confronted with the fact that you're actually using an instrument and your body to produce sound, and you know, where does this relationship start? Where does my body ends if I'm using the piano? It's an extension of it, like all these kind of questions, which are again a little bit experimental, so to say, but. This defines a little bit the line of research I'm interested with the body. And actually, in the last periods, I've also started working again a lot with improvisation in music. And I have to say as well that most of the reasons that that stay behind the fact that I play piano have to do actually with the physicality of playing. There is something about that that gives me a lot of pleasure, there's a flow that comes together. It's a little bit like a choreography of the body that results in sound. So I think it's maybe not something that musicians are very aware of, because especially when you go through school, this is something that, you know, nobody really is cultivating too much. But this has been a little bit my experience.
So there are no courses like about this in when you're studying, let's say, violin. There's not a course on like how to stand, or they might mention it.
I mean, of course, you have a lot of tutoring on postures, because you need those to be able to get the most out of the technical demands that every instrument has. But I don't know. I wouldn't say, for example, nobody works with the body alone. You know, nobody starts working with you acknowledging that you are a body in space. And as soon as you're a body in a stage, you are confronted with the same question. So this is how, for example, it happened in Belgium in this unexpected way, and then started triggering things in me.
The first thing that comes to my mind is like people like Jimi Hendrix. And I just saw this movie, Bohemian Rhapsody. Freddie Mercury, you know, different people. Excuse me, I have something in my throat. It's totally raw. That's how we do it on Voices from the Dark. If you got a cough, just cough. Could I get some water, perhaps? Or?
Do you want some tea?
Sure, why not?
Warm is good.
Yeah. Last time I was here, I was like, actually quite sick. This is 2 weeks ago, so don't worry.
No worries.
But yeah, when you started talking about body and then you're describing, clarifying what you meant, I started thinking of that. And then also, like a piano, from what I remember studying music, is that it's actually a percussion instrument, right?
Yeah, they say. So exactly.
It's almost like... The body is more important than people might think in piano.
Yeah, but definitely.
So I guess then let's move on to the next category of questions, which is the time related, the when. I always try to start with the going kind of like in a time machine, going way back. When was the first... Oh, there was another question that I wanted to ask before we get to the time questions. Sort of important, and I should be always asking this in the beginning. Do you consider yourself an artist? Do you, like, that's part of the who. It's like, do you feel that you, as a person, as an individual, do you feel like an artist or something more specific? Or,
well, you know, language is a huge misunderstanding. This is the first rule of being a speaking being in this planet, I guess. So to answer whether I'm an artist or no, I would love to know what an artist is for you. But I don't want to be, I don't want to go into that loop because we might be here for hours.
I think you're the first person that asked me that on this show. What do I mean by that? But that's a totally valid question. I don't want to go into too much of what I think about XYZ, but yeah, so an artist meaning basically, you know, somebody who creates art, but then there's the whole, it's like, what is art? So if that's your answer, that's totally fine.
No. I mean, this is definitely something important, but as you said, as I said, there's no need to go into that loop. Yes, I do consider myself an artist. And this, rather from evaluating whatever result I have from what I create, has to do more with the urgence that this, so to say, creative input and output has come to have for me. So for me, art has become something essential, as in something I really have to do. And this is what I take for, you know, this is the information I take as a basis to this, to say, yes, I'm an artist. Mm-hmm. And I work with creating things from scratch in a way. Like I put things together. I mean, from scratch sounds like if I would be like, you know, inventing stuff, which is not the case. But yeah, I think this is how I see myself.
Yeah, I think it's totally valid way of looking at it. I appreciate it. So actually, before we go to the time question, the when, which is basically when was your first artistic impulse and so on, perhaps would you like to play a track of yours, or,
sure,
or an excerpt, or
yeah, sure.
Is that ready? Set up, yeah. So whenever you're ready, yeah, just.
I don't know how volume is going to work, but
I think you just put it all the way up, right? Yeah. Okay. That was reflective music, right?
Yes.
That was also quite relaxing. So I think you mentioned earlier that, you know, some people would meditate and even take a nap. I can totally see that. So is there anything else you want to say about that specific track? You said that you actually recorded that here.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That was actually part of the premiere of reflective music, and it was here back then when I premiered it. It was made as a durational performance, so it was kind of an environment where I was improvising nonstop, and people could enter and leave whenever they wanted. So it happened for 2 days, and I think I was improvising every day for like 3 or 4 hours, and this is a little piece of music from it, because I recorded it all, and then I think most of my music, especially this type of music, comes out of those places. So it's sometimes difficult to like make a track. The things are very long because like time takes a different pace. So yes, that was from then. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's jump in the time machine then. The question that I like to ask here is, what was your first memory? What is your first memory that you can think of that you remember being, not that you remember it then, but that you remember it now as being your first artistic impulse? Or if there was a moment that you actually did think of yourself, you know, this was the first time you realized in that moment that you wanted to be a musician or an artist. So it's like either looking back or actually in the moment that you realized it.
I guess there are two different memories that I have. They're a little bit different in the essence of it. One is very early. I must have been like 4 or something. And I say it's different because, of course, as a 4-year-old, like, you don't really have a conscience to say, like, I really want to be this, you know, and to know why. I guess back then I wanted to be a fireman or something like that. I don't remember what did I say when I was in kindergarten. But I actually had an exhibition with abstract paintings of mine, and this was all initiated and supported by my aunt. And she's a painter, and she was sort of motivating me to do something. So I remember I had like little A4 or maybe A3 pieces of paper, thick paper, and I would have some kind of markers, and these kind of markers, and when you cross them, the color changes, blending. You know, it's like, yeah, but not only blend, but for example, like you paint in blue, and then there's a white magic one that then you, if you write on top of the blue, then it's like a red or another color, you know, like some kind of
interesting.
Yeah. The thing is that I did like, I started doing this, and at some point she says like, well, let's do an exhibition. So she actually put that together in her living room, and she invited friends, and I sold so I had a little box where like her friends were like putting the money of what they were buying, you know? So I guess that was a very specific encounter with you know, creating, and even though it was very curated by my aunt. And the second moment was much later, of course, must have been somewhere around 16, where it was when I started studying piano around 12, which is a little bit late for the standards of the industry, so to say it in a dark way. And by 16, I had a change of teacher. I started working with someone who was really a pianist, and who was more or less responsible of preparing me to come to Europe and take pianism, at least in a classical sense, in a more serious way. And it was a moment in which I started working on a Mozart sonata and then a piece by Chopin, and these things were very difficult given the place where I was technically, but the burst of energy I had by having the possibility of working on these pieces was so high. It was literally like if I would be on amphetamines or something. And it was really, really pushing me. Like, I didn't even know what was I putting together. I couldn't understand the complexity of what was happening, but I was sort of making it work somehow. And this is something that I now look back at and I'm like, wow. Like, these are the moments that, you know, happen when you're like a kid, and then you like spend the rest of your life trying to recreate them in any kind of possible way, you know? So, of course, a part of me started thinking about making music more professionally, or at least in that moment, making it professionally would mean to leave to Europe and enter an academy to study music, which would be already a quite big plans for somebody who's 14 or 15. But nowadays, when I look back at it, I think that the intensity and the way of all that experience happening to me was quite... I think it's quite an interesting... And also the way I performed these things on stage, like I wouldn't say I was like not nervous, but I was very close to being not nervous. Like, you know, it was just like, this is so cool, guys, I need to do this, you know? I need to come to stage and play this shit to you because this is really good, you know? It's like so nice. And, you know, later on you start developing self-consciousness and then you get caught up in all these negativities and all this, like, you know, you're not good enough and, you know, whatever. So this was a very pure moment for me. And I think it connected me to the possibility of, doing music.
Okay, so you said when you were 14, you actually, maybe you didn't say, when did you exactly, did you leave Venezuela to go...
I was 18. I left it a bit later, yeah. But because back then I was still in high school, so after I finished high school, I moved to Europe. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe we can kind of put together this timeline. So you started around 12, and then you had your sort of education in Venezuela up till 18, and then you. So where was the first place? This is, you know, crossing over into the where aspect, but when you first went to Europe, where did you find yourself?
I moved to Zagreb in Croatia.
Okay.
It was the most logical step to make, given the fact that my dad is from there and I had a lot of family and also had like possibilities to, you know, it was just a very sleek way to getting into the whole business of moving continents, you know. Mm. It was sort of like coming to Europe, but without leaving familiarity, right. You know. So, and plus, I mean, culturally speaking, Zagreb, at least in terms of classical music, was a place that, compared to Venezuela, offered so many possibilities, because it's also a place that has a lot of musical history and a lot of... tradition, and it was sort of also even geographically within the same context of this music which I was interested in making, which is classical, no? So yeah, that was the first stop in Europe.
And then how long did you stay there?
I was there for quite long. It was like 7 years, almost eight. Yeah, I did my whole studies there, and I stayed a bit also after, and also was there a bit before starting studying. So yeah, it was kind of a substantial period. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. And so at this point, you're already thinking of yourself as a pianist for sure, right?
I was, but it was, especially towards the end of that period, it was not really easy, because by the time I was finishing the academy in Zagreb, I was quite convinced that my path was not to be a classical pianist.
Oh.
Because, because of many things, but most importantly because there was a need of expressing myself through other ways, and by this I mean not only other arts, but also like other musical ways than the classical one. And also I was a little bit discouraged by the way the world of classical music works. It's just something I have become to find so strange and so detached from myself. I love the repertoire and I know it's a big part of me, but I don't really like the environment that much. So this was kind of quite clear, and it was very frustrating because it was like, okay, so what next? So yeah.
Okay, so when you left Croatia, where did you go?
That was at the time where I moved to Belgium for an exchange. And while I was in Belgium, I did a short trip to Amsterdam. Actually, it was a friend of mine who was with me in that exchange, and he was insisting in going to Amsterdam that weekend. I think he just wanted to smoke some pot or something, and I was like, "Oh my god!" I couldn't be bothered. I didn't want to go, whatever. But at the end, I went, and it was the open days of the conservatorium that weekend, and I went, and I got in touch with a department called Live Electronics. And since the moment I entered into the room and I met Jos Vandenberg, who's one of the main teachers in the program, like it was a match for, and he said, like, "Yeah, I really think you belong here." And then from that point on, everything went super smoothly in terms of how my life ended up in Amsterdam.
Okay. All right, so it seems like you've traveled a lot, and I might as well ask you the question that I always ask or try to ask. What is the, for you, if there is one, what's the importance of location, of space, of, where you are, being where you are? I think you had mentioned a little bit about belonging, but specifically to the location, like, is there an importance for you?
Definitely. I think it's super, I think it has a huge impact on what you do. I think it depends, it really depends on what do you want. What exactly are you looking for, energy-wise? Like, what's the story you're looking to nurture? I think for the arts, at some point, input and you know, a lot of creativity and fertile ground for these things is very, very important. Like, it's very difficult to develop as an artist in isolation. Mm. So in that sense, location is everything. It's a little bit like in real estate, I guess. But then at the same time, you can look at it two different ways. I think also with time, there's certain developmental process within the art making that becomes self-sufficient or a little bit more self-sufficient. So then you might as well look for a place that is giving you some kind of peace of mind or that can sort of help you harmonize your energies to create the bubble you need to create your art. So these are two things that I think alternate depending on the process you are in. You know, where are you connecting or what are you connecting to, I think.
Okay. So basically there's the bubble and then there's the community.
I think so, yeah. Okay. If you can, I mean, I guess most of artists need both or try to sort of have both. But, I think, for example, Berlin is a good example of the community-like environment. I think to create a bubble in Berlin, well, you actually need that bubble. Otherwise, I don't know how would you make it. But
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, it's a very intense place in terms of, you know, what's happening and the dynamism of things. So it's sort of, you need to find a way to isolate a bit yourself from it to be able to focus your energies in something, I guess. But at the same time, I've met artists who have been in places like that, you know, like in Berlin or New York or Paris or these kind of big big places of interaction. And it comes a point in which they say, like, I can't take this anymore. And then they go, I don't know, they move somewhere a little bit in the countryside or in a smaller city or something. And they're perfectly happy with being able to create there. And they travel to present their work, for example. So this is what I meant by these two, you know, possibilities. But in that sense, I think, yes, it's very... I think it takes a lot of wisdom and a lot of discipline to be able to detach from the importance of location. So it's so to say that you can say it really doesn't matter where I am. Like whenever I am, I'll be okay. You know, this sense of equanimity. It's you really need to craft that up. Okay. So yeah.
It's like more advanced, too. Like you can't just...
I think so, yeah. Okay. It's like the 2.0 version or something.
Okay. That's actually something I haven't really heard before. Yeah, it's like almost like a skill that you have to develop, like you said.
I think so, yeah. Okay. I think so, yeah.
Okay. So that brings me to my favorite question. It's not the most important question, but it's my favorite. Why do you do it? I think your project promises is like, this is, you know, what it's about, maybe, but for me, this question is like, oh no, it's actually you even said to yourself, what promise gets you up in the morning? You know, like why do you do this every day?
Yeah, I mean, I'm super interested of asking people this question because I guess I'm very busy with it myself.
Well, you should listen to the podcast. I ask it in every single episode.
Yeah, I think if I speak for myself, I think for me, the topic of sense in this life, it's not so obvious.
Do you mean sense like in like touch, smell, or like sense like...
No, sense as in giving sense. To
like making sense.
Making sense of things, exactly. It's not something very obvious, so to say. I think there's a lot of people, not around me, but in the world in general, like doing things without asking certain questions. There's a lot of automatism happening. And for me, like, you know, it's like... making money or achieving things or following certain commitments we engage in socially are not logical answers for me. They're more or less conventions that we have agreed to do, and it's all fine. But I'm a little bit in this corner saying, like, yeah, but I don't really understand. Like, I don't necessarily... I think existence is very broad, and... within this place of broadness, like, arts is some kind of tool that allows me to connect somehow. How to put this? I guess what I believe the most in this planet is that which is not visible, or that which is not material, so to say. And this is not to say, I'm not giving you this speech of, you know, like, I don't like material, I don't like money, or it's not about asceticism or anything. But it's so to say, what has the most value is actually those things that are unmaterial. And in that sense, art is like a getaway. It's like a high-speed connection to it. It's sort of, you know, it connects me with something that goes a little bit beyond the mundane, so to say. So... and from that, I have a big sense of, like, while I do that, then sort of life makes a little bit sense.
Okay.
I guess. I don't know.
I like that. This theme of connectedness or connecting has actually come up now many times in this artist series. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. All right. So basically, to sum it up, would you say that you do it because it's the way that you make sense of things? Is that
I think it helps me make sense of the nonsense that this life can be. I think somehow. Okay. Yeah.
I get that. All right. All right. So now the most important question. I've been told that this is a sort of kind of personal question. I don't know if it's really true.
You mean what we've been talking about is not personal?
Exactly. Yeah. That's so. yeah. So how do you do it? Like, how do you balance the being an artist plus making a living? You know, I know that you said that you work on many projects. You work, you know, you do things for collaborations. You do residencies, so on and so forth. But, you know, how do you actually make it work financially, existentially, like you said? Yeah. How do you live?
I think the challenge in that with arts is that you always have to... you have to let things cook for a long time before you can come to the point that... I mean, not always, but... most of the times, or at least in my case, I feel a bit like that it has been a constant process of cooking, you know, like a stew that you need to cook for hours and hours and hours before you can actually have a feast with it somehow. So in that sense, I'm not completely relying on art now, like, I guess, just like everyone else that is in similar positions, like, you are sort of pushed to also do some side things that are maybe not necessarily connected to the arts. In my case, I sort of try to keep that still connected with some part of me that has an interest. Like I have other things that are interesting for me that have to do with maybe some organizational skills, also maybe connected with the arts and cultural events, or also things like, I don't know, interior design, or these little things which are kind of helping me sort of stay on float until things, because it really, I think, as I said at the beginning, art needs time. Mm-hmm. And it's both time in terms of like you developing towards the outside, but also you developing from the inside, sort of, you know, coming to this place of comfort and saying like, yeah, actually, this is what I do, this is what I can do, this is what I can offer. You need to get there. I mean, not everyone is there right away. So yeah, it's not a very, I mean, there's a lot of dynamics of moving, as you said, like, you know, like I can say, yes, I'm going to be constantly somewhere else doing some things. But just like you might imagine, there's a lot of projects that have like very low funding, or they do have funding, but then you need to go and find another project later on. So it's a little bit of, you know, living on the edge in that sense. I can say I have a relatively simple life in that sense. Like I at the moment I'm not, you know, it's not, I'm far from saying that I'm completely relying on art. But yeah, it's a little bit one of the goals, and it has to do more with actually just being able to devote your complete time to it, rather than to want to achieve, I don't know, what kind of like financial success. I don't know. I mean,
so yeah. You think that dedicating more time to your craft is more important than dedicating time to making, let's say, money? Whatever.
Definitely. I mean, this is my goal. The reason why I want to make more money with art is because of this. It's because I think that it's definitely, my time is worth best spent when I'm doing that. And actually, I think that's the position where I can give the most. You know, if somebody could, if I, let's put it in capitalistic words, if I was to charge for something, it should be that. Like, this is what I could provide, you know, so to say, which doesn't mean that I cannot do other things, but, you know.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. So I guess there's just a couple more questions that I have in my brain. I used to try to ask this to every guest. I've sort of forgot to do it in the last few episodes. What's the weirdest job that you had that was not related to art, or that you did to support your art that wasn't your art, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine. It's nothing that weird, actually. Like, I don't know, I've worked in a reception in a hostel. No, that's not that weird at all. No. That's what I mean. It's okay. not exotic. Okay. I can't... I actually like that. So as I said, I try to keep things within, you know, I like to work with people. So I went there's
sometimes
nothing.
Sometimes there's weird ones, you know.
No, there's nothing I can... I'm sorry to be a disappointment in that sense.
Okay. And then, I guess, then, yeah, this is not really a question. Well, it is a question, but it's more like a request for a statement or advice. What do you think... Is there a piece of advice that you would give to... not only other artists, but to just people in general, because that's another aspect of this show, is that we often think of, you know, life, and you have artists and then you have like regular people. But I really do think that like so-called regular people, they find themselves in these kind of like robotic, automatic lives that, but that's because maybe they just need more advice or input about how to do things more creatively. And I think that artists can give this sort of support or help or advice, really. So is there any particular advice that you would have for artists and non-artists alike to kind of like just have a better life?
Wow, that's a big responsibility. Yeah. But
no, if you have something,
I guess as I said before, I'm stronger with questions than with answers. I would say that probably focusing on what is important for you and why. Like, if you hold on to those two questions and you beat the drum out of them constantly, if you sort of try to bring a revision to it all the time, you're probably going to bring some kind of attention or some kind of awareness to whatever processes are happening within you and within your life. I think this is something that can... I think a lot of things go in directions that we're actually not very happy with because we're not actually looking for answers for those questions.
Okay. So maybe something try to like keep asking the questions, what's important and why.
What is really important, okay. Yeah. I think this is important. Okay,
great. Well, thank you for that. I really appreciate you being here, Marco.
Thank you for inviting me.
On the artist series on Voices from the Dark. I think I forgot to mention it's episode 33.
Wow.
Artist series number 21. I don't know. I just keep throwing these numbers out there. Sometimes I get them right. Sometimes I get them wrong. So yeah, thanks again. And yeah. And I guess in the show notes, I'll link to your projects.
Sure.
And
that'd
it's
be lovely.
Yeah. Was it relax? No, not relaxation.
Reflective music.
Reflective music.
Yeah.
And Promises is
Promises
forthcoming.
Is the other one coming up.
Okay, great.
Exactly.
Okay, thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Have a good night, people.
Thanks.